Hello, and welcome to episode 78 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the show where a group of indie creators get together, talk about comics, and just have a festive, jolly old time. And it is festive at the moment, because if you listen to this as it comes out fresh, you've just had a lovely Christmas, we hope.
Yeah, we hope you have.
Yeah, don't we? You do as well, don't you, Dan?
What do you guys do on a Boxing Day? What's your standard Boxing Day?
I usually take Stan out for a walk. I like a nice long walk with Stan. That's always good. Yeah. But just a quiet one this year.
Have a crap in the park.
Yeah. And then, Pick up his warm turd with a upside down carrier bag.
I was going to say you having the crap in the park.
Oh, yeah, I have done. I got caught short walking him once, and he watched me while I did a poo. It was really embarrassing.
Just in case you don't know who we are, folks. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mouse from Mars, and occasional wrangler of this podcast we call the Awesome Comics Podcast.
Sounds like wrangler.
It is. I'm a cheeky wrangler. And this week, this festive week, I'm joined by comic artist, writer, and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Daniel Butcher.
Hello.
And the man who is never a leftover, and occasionally a pig in a blanket, it's Down the Tube contributor, Tony Esmond.
Isn't that a foreskin? That's code for a knob in a foreskin.
Oh, God. Where are we going this time? Oh. This always happens when we record after work, because we're all tired. And next, one minute in, I admit to having had a poo in front of my dog, and you talk about foreskins.
Yeah.
But it's all right, though. We quite like it, don't we?
Yeah.
It's a typical Christmas.
It is.
Don't think too many festive shows will talk about dog shitting foreskin.
I tell you what, dog pooing and a foreskin, Dan's autobiography, is going to be out next year.
Yeah.
Via Filthy Bastard Books.
Through that discount book chain warehouse. Buy one, get one free.
Yeah. They always wind me up. I bought a book, a Burt Reynolds autobiography, about 3 months ago, and I noticed it's about a quarter of the price, and it's in one of those shops now. That fucks me right off, that does.
Is it an official?
What's it called?
Burt Reynolds.
I can't remember.
Oh,
it's about Burt Reynolds. I like Burt Reynolds. Yeah. He's right.
He's got the bandit worked into the title.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes, folks. It's Christmas is a wonderful time of year, isn't it? Hopefully it is. Hopefully you've had a fantastic Christmas. We all have as well, but we're recording this early, so who knows what we've got in our stockings.
Celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Baby Jesus.
Little baby Jesus. But as it's the festive time of year, and this show's all about comics, we thought we'd talk about holiday specials and festive holiday specials. I don't think last year we did a Christmas special, did we? I think we just, talked about some old nonsense.
Christmas comics are a patchy lot, aren't they? I think.
Yes.
You know.
And I think normally, for instance, we've done Halloween specials, and normally there's a plethora of horror books, and a lot of people sort of jump out of the woodwork.
That's an easy one, isn't it?
Yeah. But in terms of a Christmas special,
Christmas ones.
You know,
I can think of Lobo versus Father Christmas.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Oh my God, we're gonna just. I'm going in dry. I've got no notes.
Keep saying that.
I know. Yeah. Look, these people. Hopefully, it gets one laugh. That's all I want. Yeah. That'll be written on my gravestone. I'll keep saying it until someone laughs.
Got his one laugh.
But. Before, to kick us off, I think there's quite a recent festive special which has just come out as we speak. And no doubt a lot of our listeners have got it, have read it. Tony, do you want to kick us off?
Well, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? And I know a lot of people have messaged in saying 2008D is the best Christmas special, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I suppose they do a Christmas special now, but it kind of goes back a bit for me when it was you used to get the annuals under the tree, didn't you, at Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always used to try and get the 2008D one, and if I was lucky, I'd get like the Judge Dredd one, and then possibly like the Star Lord one when they made those and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But this one is actually a prog, so it's prog 2011. It's a Zarjaz 100-page Xmas Mega Special. And it's got like it's got a spine and everything to it. It's a really nice book. And I was texting you two guys earlier, wouldn't I? That it's only $4.99, which is really, really good price. Yeah,
I've got to take my hat off to the marketing department or whoever has taken the helm recently with 2000 AD because they're getting it right.
Yeah,
this kind of doing this. The 2000s issue, it's going well.
It's been a big year for the minute, the biggest year for a long time, I think, really, for me, what they've done. I don't think there's a duff strip in it, I've got to be honest with you. I don't think there's anything in it that's bad.
I only got it today, but I haven't had a chance to read all of it, but what I've read is fantastic.
Have you read the Dread strip at the start?
Yeah, I read the Dread one.
Oh, so good. I mean, to me, that's like the perfect sort of Judge Dread Christmas story. It's like a classic. You know, so let's line it up. It's written by Rob Williams, who's been killing it recently on Judge Dredd, actually. Really enjoyed his stuff. Art by Chris Weston. You know what you're going to get off Chris Weston, don't you? Really detailed stuff. Letters by Annie Parkhouse, who does a lot of lettering for 2000 AD. And it's basically the financial branch of the judges who humorously have a sort of percentage sign written on their shoulder pad rather than an eagle, which I thought was brilliant. came up with the idea. This is like a typical New Labour Tory kind of idea, isn't it? Their idea is to pay criminals to behave over Christmas.
Well, this is actually something they're going to do, like in the Netherlands, aren't they? Think about giving people a basic wage.
I was about to say, judges. Bloody hell, the Netherlands is really.
But like, just rather than kind of working, every kind of person gets a wage for being there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I thought it was kind of tapping into that as well.
But yeah, they do well, don't they? They do, you know, tap into sort of current, you know, zeitgeist and things, don't they, in 2000 AD, and always have done. But they offer them 1,000 creds if they remain lawful on Christmas Day, and the bean counters amongst these sort of weird judges, financial judges, have worked out that this will actually save the city money if people sort of agreed to it. So what they did is they created... pardon me, cash dispensers that would hand out chits, that's chits with a C, that you can, after 24 hours, if you've behaved, hand in for the credits. And of course a riot breaks out. You know, of course it all goes wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I won't quite, because I know people would, this would have been out for almost a week by the time this show goes out, but don't want to spoil it for people. But it complicates itself, as you expect it to.
Mm.
Art-wise, fucking lovely, absolutely lovely. The one point they go to the Dave the Orangutan Memorial March, whoever he was,
it's not a 2000 AD character.
I'm not sure. You know.
That's a play on Harambe, isn't it?
Oh,
what's that?
Really?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
I didn't make that connection until you just talked about it.
Right. Like, oh, okay. And it's sort of in the background, but there's some sort of classic 2000 AD characters. So there's Judge Fish and the Harlem Heroes and a few other things. I put a panel out on Twitter today, which is basically Judge Dredd holding a gun up and shouting, accountants, .. open fire. Who says satire is dead?
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's the really lovely colours as well, absolutely brilliant, which I think must have been done by Chris Weston. He's credited with the art, no individuals with the colours.
What else has Chris Weston worked on? That name.
He did the 12.
Yeah.
At Marvel, did an awful lot of work. The Book of Eli, he quite famously storyboarded and did a lot of the posters and stuff for that.
Oh, right.
I think he did the Filth as well, didn't he? I think.
Hmm.
Or did he do?
There's an element to like his faces, like Brian Boland, of like
very much
sort of realistic faces, but the expressions on them are so readable. Like, you can instantly tell what's going through that character's mind.
Yeah, you can. And there's some crowd scenes, like, fucking hell, how many people did he draw in some of these crowd scenes?
I've seen some of that. It's ridiculous.
That kind of
work, when you see that sort of style that is sort of like, you know, Western or Brian Boland and stuff, that has to be original, doesn't it? I mean, that can't be digital, surely.
I don't know. I've seen him selling some of his original art at conventions, but I'm not sure if he's transitioned over to digital or not. Yeah,
because every single fucking character is rendered in the crowd.
Yeah,
I know.
There's virtually no one who's kind of like a balloon. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
I mean, it feels to me like with like the depth of inks and stuff, it feels a bit more natural than digital. And you can
do
amazing stuff with digital. That's not what I'm saying, you know. And a lot of people that have moved to digital, you can't tell the difference. But with that kind of like say Brian Boland style, it definitely feels like if that sort of artist moved to digital, you wouldn't necessarily get the same.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, interesting to see how he works. Yeah, it would be. Yeah, yeah. Let's get him on. Let's ask him on.
Yeah,
that'd be a good shout.
Which one?
Yeah.
Chris Weston or Brian Boland? Let's have them both.
Yeah, I think Chris is more likely, don't you? But yeah.
Chris, listen, please. I hope he listens. Yeah. I hope anyone listens.
In fact, the art in the whole of the issue is fucking spot on. There's Kingmaker Part 1, which is a new story. Ian Edgington's a writer. Art by Lee Gallagher, I think, did Defoe. Letters by Ellie DeVille. Peace has been a status quo for the people of the Nine Kingdoms until the undead Iknar returns with his Legion of Shadows. It's sort of fantasy thing. There's like more blood in it than you get in an average Slain story on a couple of pages, which is saying a lot.
I was going to ask you, there's the strip in it called Dead World. Is that like a kind of Judge
that's
Death?
Ongoing. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's been going a while. I think they've only just, they've not long finished the story of that as well. I wasn't so taken with that one, I'll be honest with you. Wasn't quite my thing.
Because it's kind of come in, and I've come in halfway through that, and like they're referring to each other as judges, and they got Judge Death style costumes on uniforms.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've had a couple of years off 2008, about 5 or 6 years ago, so I might have missed the start of that one, so I'm not 100% sure about that, dude. Although I have just had a message from Simon Russell. I have 30 minutes in the listener's sweepstake for when you talk about the last turkey in the shop. There you go.
Okay. Apart from that reference.
Yeah. but that, I mean, that Kingmaker, gorgeous. Then they go on, there's a piece on Misty, which obviously is quite interesting to us, because we had Pat on, and he talked a lot about Misty, didn't he?
Yeah.
Until you brought it up, I didn't Misty wasn't on my radar. I didn't know about it at all.
Same with
Were you the same, Vince? Yeah.
I'd heard of the name, but other than that, you know, it was a foreign concept to me.
I mean, we didn't really read Girls and Boys comics. There was a big division, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Years ago. You know, if you were a girl, you got bought Misty or Tammy or Penny or something like that. And if you were a boy, you got bought Marvel or 2000 AD or Roy the Rovers or something, didn't you? You know, there was a sort of definitive line. So a lot of these girls comics, I've only recently sort of read anything by. And I think the thing about Misty is trying to pick up a back issue of Misty, you'd be lucky to get one cheaply. You know, you're going to pay double figures at the very least from a back issue, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But it's all changed recently when they've just put out a reprint, like a compendium of some of the strips. And I've read a bit recently, because I did that. I did a sort of homage for the Forest Tales from Nottingham Comic Con with Jen Brown. And you, Dan, didn't I? You did the lettering.
Yeah, I helped out a little bit.
Yeah. And some of the design looked nice. Yeah, really nice. And we, so I did a bit of reading into it, and I had a look around some charity shops and stuff like that for it, and eventually found a few issues. But it's really interesting. If you want to know anything, it's one of those sort of history of comics type articles, and it is, and it's amongst it are some interviews with some of the creators, and there's some talk with Pat and all this sort of thing. And then the new volume that they've just released has got features Moonchild and the Four Faces of Eve, which are sort of quite standout stories, and it's highly recommended, very, very good, and I think there'll be more coming. There's some Ace Truck & Co. in here as well.
That's old school.
Yeah. You can't, I whilst it looks good, you can't beat Massimo Bellardinelli, can you really, for Ace Truck & Co. I used to love that back in the day. The Order's back. There's a new series, Worm War, which I really like John Burns' work and artwork in this. Dead World, like we mentioned. And then Hope for the Future, which is a really interesting sort of black and white noir story. It's a bit sort of, I'm going to say a little bit Hellblazer, but more sort of classic noir added along.
Yeah.
A little bit Clive Barker, Lord of Illusions. Do you remember Lord of Illusions?
Oh, God.
With Scott Bakula. A little bit like that. And then brilliantly is an article and a couple of pages out of Read 'em and Weep, Book One, Serial Killer, which is the book by Pat Mills and Kevin O'Neill, which I highly recommend you read. Is absolutely hilarious. They both sort of, to sum it up, they've channeled their experiences from working in British comics in the sort of groovy and swinging London in the 1970s, and have made basically out of that sort of, you know, frantic environment, have built a sort of funny murder story, a sort of serial killer story. You get a great interview with Pat and Kevin, and then you get an extra. The book is split up into extracts. There's a story to it, but amongst it is little extracts of the stories that were created at the time. And then this has got, I don't want to say too much, but this has got a little extract of the Caning Commando, who's a sort of slightly sort of sexually threatening,
sexually threatening.
Yeah, sort of. He's a school teacher who goes around beating the Germans up by whacking them with a cane.
Oh, God.
And he's got like a mortar board and stuff.
Bloody
and it's just a little bit. It's crazy. It's anarchic and it works so well, but it just made me laugh so much. And there's a little extract of that. You have a read of it and you'll understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got some spot illustrations by Kevin O'Neill amongst it. It's just 2 pages worth, but. Nicely puts young Alf, smile, grab him, then turn to Yvette. How's the tea coming along? You know, it's like little comments like that. Yeah. You know, just... really good. There's some Aquila in it. Gordon Rennie, Paul Davidson and art. Paul Davidson's art in this is spot on. Very Charlie Adlard.
Yeah, this is brilliant.
Yeah, really nice. And the colours.
So is that really... like, is that an ongoing one, that one?
Aquila's sort of comes and goes, yeah. Whether this is just a sort of one-off short tale, I'm not sure. Because it's kind of almost self-contained and quite long, isn't it?
And so there's like a kind of a big Romanesque style orgy, which they can handle really well.
Yeah, by just covering them with sheets.
Just covering them with sheets, but like it's so obvious. But yeah, well done.
If you've seen a lot of those things, Dan, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Been in a few of them.
In fact, one of the blokes in it is making that face you make during.
Yeah. Which we will now call Butcher Face.
Yeah, the butcher's sex face.
So sort of blowing out the cheeks. Kind of.
Oh, I bet you do.
That bloke, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, doing the bat with your ball bag, sorry. It's called The Kingdom as It Is in Heaven, part one, is by Dan Abnett. That's an ongoing story that started again. There's an advert for the ABC Warriors who are coming back. There's very little stuff that isn't a 2000 AD strip or an article in here. There's an advert for the convention, the 40th year convention, and there's a sort of double page poster that features Dredd and Chopper on his surfboard. The cover is basically Dredd blowing Santa, shooting Santa in the sky, Santa and Rudolph out of their sleigh with a big cannon on a sort of floating judges sort of platform, and the close up and on the right of the screen is Santa Claus as he burns to death and falls to earth. Art by Cliff Robinson with colours by Dylan Teague. I love Dylan Teague's art colours on this stuff. Looks absolutely brilliant. Really, really good.
I love Dylan.
Yeah, best cover as well.
Dylan Teague's work's ridiculous. If you ever see him at a con, he's normally quite quiet and just sort of sitting there, isn't he? Just working along. But
he's at Melksham normally, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think we've seen him there before.
Yeah, his stuff's. Like his prints and everything is just amazing.
Yeah, really nice stuff. I mean, this is absolutely quality. I'd put this up against the Prog 2000, actually, in quality.
Yeah.
Genuinely. You know, really, really good stuff. The text pieces are on point, quick, punchy, but interesting. There's a few pin-ups, you know, but it relates... They've done adverts for upcoming stuff, but they've been done in, like, really nice pin-ups, you know?
Yeah.
There's an advert for... Dredd gone to Texas in the back pages.
I think it's an absolutely fantastic buy.
Yeah, for $4.99 really as well. It took me hours to read it all, you know. Yeah, really nice. Really nice.
Treat yourself this, well, Boxing Day now.
Yeah, yeah.
When the shop's open.
Yeah.
Go for a walk, pick up a copy.
Do they just have that sort of one festive kind of issue and then it goes back to like next week? Or this week coming, obviously.
I think they skip a week, don't they? Do they skip a week every year? I've got a feeling they do. So it's 51 issues a year. I think that's right. So this is the bumper issue. So like the free comic book day issue, they used it to show other strips, you know, one-offs, and then also introduce the upcoming strips. Like they did with Prog 2000, really. There was an ongoing there amongst all the other strips in there. Mm. So it's a good jumping on plot. Definitely a big jumping on plot point. Prog 2011, yeah, really, really, really nice. Yeah, very good. Yeah, nice to see Pat getting like a few pages as well about him or anyone, you know.
Yeah.
40 years ago he started this. I think if you're into British comics, you're not reading 2000 AD, something wrong with you. You know.
Well, it's all going to kind of come to a head, isn't it, once the 2000 AD festival thing kicks off.
Yeah.
So it's good to see they're really laying the groundwork for that.
Yeah. And there's, yeah. I know it's sold out, sadly, isn't it now, I think.
Is it really?
There's nobody... There's no real details of what's happening on the day, apart from there's prestige events, it says.
Yeah.
Original programming, exclusive merchandise, and live drawing. I don't know what the live drawing is going to be, unless they're going to do that sort of drawing on a screen thing that they do at some conventions, which kind of works sometimes, doesn't it? I know they do it at Comica.
They may have more information on like the Thrillcast, the podcast and stuff. They may talk a bit more about that.
Oh, they might do. Yeah, I listened to that.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that for like a few weeks, but...
Yeah, the Steve Dillon one was particularly good. Really worth listening to. Really, really, really nicely done. I mean, the guest list on this is who's who. Do you know what I mean? Pat, John Wagner, Carlos Escura, Ann Gart, Dave Gribbins, Mike McMahon, Simon Bisley, Rob Williams, Cy Spurriel, Ewan, Liam Moore, John Repien, Sean Phillips, Duncan Fogato, Chris Weston, he'll be there. Maybe try and interview him. Gordon Rennie, Fraser Irving, Lawrence Campbell, Emma Beebe, Rufus Dayglow, and then more and more and more. I think there's a second wave of guests they're going to announce.
Yeah.
And I think they're playing the Strontium Dog fan movie, aren't they?
Yeah, premiere.
And that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Judge Minty was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of these fan movies are just so well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 2000 AD fans are like some of the most dedicated fans, aren't they? Oh, there's a lot of 2000 AD fans who just read 2000 AD, talk about it. That's all they do.
Yeah.
You know, they don't tip their toes anywhere else, really.
Mm.
And when you've got a wealth of back matter now for 2000 AD, you can do it, can't you? You know?
Definitely.
It should be an exciting day, though.
Yeah, it should be, yeah. It's Hammersmith Novotel, so it's not too far for me. Central London-ish.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not too far from your bench.
That's it, yeah.
with that in mind, we put out a quick poll. It's Christmas time, so I just...
Right.
It didn't run as long as some of the others have before, so thank you to everyone who...
I thought you were going to say feed the world then. I thought that we were going into that.
Yeah, let them know.
I was going to segue into that.
Are you going to sing it, Dan?
It's Christmas time.
we've had another message from Lyndon White saying, will there be any mentions of boxes? Nicely done, Lyndon. Thank you, my friend.
Nice one. Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Right, back to the poll. Simple one. In your opinion, who makes the best holiday special comics?
Oh.
Now, there was four choices. Marvel, DC, 2000 AD, and other. Who do you think came out on top?
I think 2000 AD have redefined how setting that bar high on this one.
What, for the for making holiday specials? I
mean, yeah, definitely.
With the glowing review that Tony just gave, they've obviously still got it, but they've been doing it for years and years, haven't they?
Yeah. There's generally something in them, isn't there? Even just in the normal prog, there was always some kind of sort of themed sort of Christmassy thing. So you can see it on a lot of the covers, you know. Yeah.
I couldn't call this at all. I wouldn't know.
I'm saying 2000 AD.
Right, okay. In fourth with 6% was DC.
Oh, okay.
That was third, because joint second with 29% was Marvel and Other.
Oh, okay.
So
there you go.
35%. Oh, 2000 AD is the best holiday special maker in our listeners' opinions.
Yeah.
I can't think of one Christmas special for Marvel, maybe a Thor comic I had.
Right, they've done a few, didn't they? They did. Do you remember the Treasury editions? They did they did two, you know, the oversized big old Treasury editions that were mostly reprint material.
Yeah.
They did Giant Superhero Holiday Grab Bags. They did two of those. I've got them, and I think one of them's got them having like the superheroes having like a snowball fight and stuff. It was quite cool. And then I think there was, I mean, they've done a, I reckon in the 2000, in the 90s, early 2000s, they did a few. They did, was it something like Ant-Man's Christmas or something like that? Was it a time travel thing? I think that was like a Marvel Knights thing. And I've got a feeling that Tangled Web had a Christmas episode as well. That I think Darwin Cook drew, you know. Yeah, I don't own it, but I think I was reading about it the other day, and that was quite good.
Yeah.
And there's the odd sort of, they always seem to be a bit sort of filler, don't they? You know.
Yeah.
Like Squirrel Girl, and I think there's a Great Lakes Avengers one and Squirrel Girl's in it, and you know.
I guess the trouble is
Christmas type stories.
If you're doing a kind of Christmas story and you're pumping out 12 issues a year, that's like one fluff issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're wasting a lot of. Well, not wasting, you know, you're kind of, you're giving a lot of time to that idea, which is kind of very gimmicky.
And I think that's, you know, some of the general consensus. I know Paul Moore said a similar thing.
Yeah.
In response to one of the polls, because it is, sometimes it does feel a bit, I don't know, they're not always, they don't always, it's like you can miss them and it wouldn't affect anything.
Yeah.
As Paul said, he said it's usually filler junk. Throw Santa into a story. The stabbing Santa in Born Again was good.
I saw him put that. That was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Just turns up, stabs Daredevil and leaves.
He never has it easy, Daredevil, does he? Let's face it. Yeah. A friend of mine at work watched Daredevil the other day, and he doesn't know anything about the character. And after telling me being blind is stupid, that was his phrase, he then said, he gets beaten up a lot, doesn't he? I said, he doesn't really have it easy, Daredevil.
No.
You know, even Santa Claus wants to stick a knife in him.
Well, being a blind guy getting into loads of fist fights, I can imagine you would get beat up quite a lot. I know he's got a few more. Things under his belt than that.
I'll tell you what, he'd do better than any of us would.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I was saying I've been cracking on with the old Luke Cage. I'm up to about episode 5 of that.
Oh, okay.
Right. Enjoying it so far.
Yeah, definitely. I liked it.
We might talk.
Just did that one when he got out of prison and he's wearing like the headband and the suit.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
I was laughing as soon as I saw the headband. I was like, I know where this is going.
Oh.
Yeah, right, okay. Now, in terms of holiday thing, I might...
And he says Sweet Christmas, doesn't he?
He says Sweet Christmas.
Yeah.
Is it Mike Coulter, the actor? I think he's perfect for that role.
Very good, isn't he?
Yeah. It's really good.
I was talking to someone at work about it the other day where he keeps going, do you want to go for coffee? And they go, you don't mean coffee, do you? And he goes, not really. I quite like that.
Come on. He's like, I don't drink coffee. Oh, right.
Yes! But he keeps saying it, doesn't he? He's like, he says it 4 or 5 times. Yeah. I'm going to go for coffee. You really mean it? Nah, I don't like coffee. Yeah. I'd like to bone you. You know, it's like that, isn't it?
Yeah. That is a. He's a very sexual man, Luke Cage, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's happily married in the Marvel Universe now.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. And hasn't he got a child?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Squirrel Girl's the nanny, isn't she?
Oh, is she.
Yeah.
Oh dear God. Oh dear. Anyway, holiday themed comics. Let's just take from here the other poll I put out today is: are you a fan of holiday themed comics? The four choices here was yes, love them. They're okay, I guess. No, and no opinion.
I'd probably go for no opinion.
I'm going no. Difference. I'm going no because I'm a grumpy old bloke.
Well, in fourth place with 16% was no opinion.
Right, thanks for that. By the way, vote in, you boring people.
Yes, love them, and no were joint second with 27%.
Oh, okay.
With they're okay, I guess. It was 31%.
Yeah,
that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's about right.
I'm going to say something now.
You've warned us about this.
I know we decided...
If you say you don't like Christmas, I'm going to have a go at you.
No, I love Christmas.
Good man.
I love holiday seasons and things like that. But when it comes to holiday... Well, Christmas-themed comics, I'm just not a fan. I don't like them.
Nah, fair enough.
I don't like them.
Very rarely do I like them. Yeah. I just think they come off as a bit rushed and a bit... Mostly sort of a little bit anthology with some, like, filler and, you know.
And sometimes... correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes they break up the flow of a story. The David Aja Matt Fraction Hawkeye, which had a certain story, and then a Christmas special broke up some of
it? That rings a bell. Yeah.
I mean, that was a series that was taking its time coming out anyway. But
yeah, it started well, didn't it? Yeah. It was like good, and it cracked on, and then you when's the next one out?
And then
out,
you had a one-off Christmas story, which was fine. But if you're going to break up the flow of an arc,
That's what I mean. You're breaking it up for a fucking long time.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's not to say there can't be great Christmas stories and stuff, but certainly.
I mean, if they want to do like a kind of Marvel Christmas special, and they've got kind of like 3 or 4 page stories. Yeah. Loads of different characters, original creators. That's fine.
I mean, they have done that, haven't they? I know DC did one of those dollar books, didn't they? A holiday special with Batman and Jonah Hex and all this sort of thing. Superman was in it. I think the Legion were in it, actually. You know, so they have done a few things like that. I just think the majority of the Christmas stuff seems to have come out in the 90s and early 2000s and has all just seemed a little bit rushed to me, you know?
Yeah. We put out a shout on the Twitter, and Lee Grice got in touch at @lovelylee_G. He gave us a couple of messages. He said DC did two specials in the 80s called Christmas with the Superheroes, which had some genuinely terrific stories.
Oh, I didn't read them.
And they did two excellent Xmas specials set in the Batman animated universe. Batman Holiday Special and Batgirl Adventures. And the Christmas spirit is fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I've seen a couple of people have mentioned that, and that is a great... Yeah, that
a
is
a collection of all the Xmas episodes of Will Eisner's The Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's got that feel about it, though. You could easily work the Christmas element into The Spirit for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that sort of cynical, funny, you know, designy look to it. You know, you could have him meet Santa Claus almost, couldn't you? And you'd think, okay. Yeah.
Same with the animated one. That seems the perfect kind of...
Yeah. Definitely
tell that kind of story.
Yeah, definitely. It's got that stylized, nostalgic feel to it, isn't it? Yeah. It's weird that we don't see comics in the same way we see movies, because when it comes around to Christmas, there's a couple of Christmas movies I'll watch, and I'll go straight to. I like to watch Elf. I'm a big fan of Elf.
Yeah, Elf.
It's a Wonderful Life. I like to watch that. And
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's it.
Yeah. People love Christmas movies, don't they? You know.
Yeah.
But we don't really have that same sort of feel for comics. I suppose because they don't necessarily come out on Christmas Day, do they, the comics you're reading? You know?
Yeah. There's so much you kind of associate with Christmas I'll go back on that because I'm about to talk about a comic in a minute that deals with Christmas and it does it bloody well. So
I mean, it's quite interesting to say that because Lee also... along with that thread, he said he has a whole bunch of Xmas comics that he rereads every year.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and he sent a few pictures, and you got Hulk, you know, you got the, as mentioned, Christmas spirit. Jingle Bell. Have you heard of that?
Okay. Yeah.
There's a Bone Christmas special in there, a Hellboy Christmas special. Lee obviously likes Christmas, God bless him. but, you know, just looking at those images that he sent through to us, and we'll have to post them on the Facebook page, if that's all right, Lee. It just shows that there is a raft.
That's nice. Yeah.
There is a
hopefully
raft,
Lee but... isn't that bloke who appears on the news every year who says, every day's Christmas Day for me. I have a Christmas lunch every day. You've seen that bloke. He's always on the news. Yeah. It's quite annoying.
No.
Yeah.
Sure. Quiet as an understatement. fucking knob.
Yeah. then he goes away and plays Second Life and keeps himself happy, I suppose, but there you go.
Yeah.
Wax it to Second Life or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. So. With the how do I recover from this? Okay then, if you were to do a Christmas special, you could pick any character from any universe, big two, small press, whatever, and they said, we want you to do a Christmas special, who do you think would have, you know, have the potential to do a really good one?
What, the character or the creators?
Character, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I'd probably go Batman, you know. I just like the sort of old school Gotham feel. You know, you could easily put a bit of snow on that, couldn't you?
So you make it quite a dark Christmas tale, is that what you're saying?
I think the fact that Batman is, you know, you could easily have sort of Batman, you know, being a grump, you know, concentrating on crime, and then he's had his head turned a little bit to the Christmas spirit. I think you could do that sort of thing. Yeah. A little bit like a Grinchy type story, couldn't you?
Have there been many Christmas Carol sort of retellings in comics? There must be, mustn't there? Because there's so many of them in other media, isn't there? You see it all the time in TV and film. Comics must have done that.
Yeah, I'm sure they must have done. Yeah, yeah, especially the DC books, something like that.
There's a lot of people probably screaming at there.
Talking of Christmas films and the kind of Christmas Carol, I rewatched Scrooge the other day, and through the end of that, you know, kind of obviously the story of Scrooge, he changes his ways.
Which one did you watch, dude?
Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray, classic.
He seems like he's suffered like some kind of mental breakdown, and the only reason he's being nice at the end is because he's absolutely mental. He's not that he's had a change of heart. he's been such a traumatic experience that he doesn't know how to act anymore.
To be fair, that Ghost of Christmas Future in that.
It's terrifying.
I watched Fred Claus the other day, and I can't help but think there's a lot of elves boning in the background in that film.
Oh, my word. Is that one of those films where they have, like, regular-sized actors and then digitize them small?
A little bit, yeah.
I don't really...
And is it Giamatti? Rhino, when he plays Santa Claus, and his brother Fred, he's a bit of a sort of wayward brother. Turns up and he turns good in the end. Yeah. I quite like the film.
Do you quite like a festive film? Do you like getting festive, sitting down and watching?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I watch Miracle on, is it 34th Street? I like that.
What, the original one or the remake?
Both. I like both.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think the last good Christmas movie was probably Elf.
Elf's a classic.
Yeah, I've seen never
Elf. Yeah. I occasionally snatch phones off people and ask them what their favourite colour is at work.
Yeah. Do you have that weird breakfast that's like spaghetti with M&Ms and maple syrup?
Yeah. is it Brian Schoonover? He illustrates his kid's lunch bag every day, and he's put narwhal on it today. Brent Schoonover. Yeah, it looks great. See you, buddy. Hope you find your dad. That bit, you know.
That's a great gif with so that if you press the button, you got £1 million, but someone on the world died. And then it's got a picture of, like, that gif of Buddy, like, pressing all the buttons in the lift. It's great.
I often see myself as his mate who's in the mail room.
Yeah. Looks like you as well.
A little bit, yeah.
Right, so Tony's going to have Batman for a Christmas special.
Right.
Dan Butcher.
I ain't got a fucking clue. I can't think.
Come on. Would you go for a fun story, or would you go for something dark?
I'd go for a fun story and mix it up. Yeah. I don't know. Can't go wrong with a bit of Superman. That's obvious.
I think that's a good
interesting
one.
We're going straight to the DC characters, aren't they? Because they've got a little less edge to me sometimes than certainly the older ones than the Marvel ones. You know, sort of a Spider-Man Christmas special, maybe? I don't know.
That'd do. Yeah.
Well, it surprised me when I saw Lee's collection, like the Hellboy Christmas special.
Yeah, I've not read that, actually. That's one of the Hellboys. I've got a big collection of Hellboy, and I've not read that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must get
that. I've seen there's virtually most characters, like the big two at least, have had Christmas specials starting in them.
They must have.
I'm sure the Punisher's had one at some point. And
there is one. There is one. I'm trying to think what it is. Yeah, there is, yeah.
See, and I think it's stuff like that takes me out of the Christmas specials, because no doubt in those, Punisher is, they've probably decked him out in a Santa outfit, you know.
That's what it is, I think. I think that is
really,
it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he's sort of sitting there and he's covered in blood and he's shot a load of people and he's sitting back with a sort of Santa costume on.
Yeah, that kind of takes me out of it, if you know what I mean. And I love Punisher.
I
do a story saying like he kind of kills someone who stole and sank to take home to their kid or something, or like, play that angle, or like that it kind of brings home the loss of his family by seeing someone else's, or
stealing Christmas presents is a big no-no, isn't it? You gotta gotta get a proper kick in for doing that.
Yeah, big time.
How do you think Santa is used in the independent comic scene? I say that because probably a couple of months ago, one of my choices for a recommendation was the comic Slayer from Action Lab, which was like a motorcycle kind of riding Santa Claus who was fighting like giant demons and stuff, which was as funny as it sounds. It wasn't taking it seriously. But that was weird, because when I was reading that, it didn't feel Christmassy, even though everything that was based around it was all Christmas-based. But with that in mind, do you think, like, the independents and the smaller press, do you think they should do more holiday specials, or they should try those sort of things? I can't think of many off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's more suited to webcomics, because you might only have one or two issues out of a comic a year as a small presser, mightn't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
We do, with the kind of comic people I'm involved with, we do a lot of art swaps and stuff around Christmas.
Yeah.
So you try and kind of help each other out, and you get a bit of content for your site, content for someone else's. But yeah, like you said, it's exactly the same thing though. If you're kind of doing a web comic, you can kind of do a page and it's not really a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like small press, I think it's probably more beneficial to you if you're like, you're a comic artist or something, to do like, you know, if you're at a show around that time, to have a holiday theme print or do Christmas cards or something like that. But if you do a comic, it has a shelf life. Do you know what I mean? Because you can't...
Yeah.
I can't imagine they're going to sell that much in the height of summer.
And what conventions are there over Christmas? We've had a break now for about a month, haven't we?
Yeah.
Already, you know.
Unless
it's digital sales. You know, digital sales, that works better, I think.
Yeah. I think
you can stick something on Comixology, can't you? It's got a sort of theme to it. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even then, like, who would jump for that? I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly,
there'd be a very low crowd, seller, I think. Yeah.
But because of digital, like Tony said, you know, I think there's more of an option for holiday specials to get out there, you know, and be a more immediate.
I don't know. I think if you was going to put all the effort of making a comic, I would make it a lot more... I would instantly go to make it broader as opposed to a kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe if you did an anthology, it might be like you did two or three pages or something and a load of small press people come together to do it. That might be different. I don't know. It seems very specialised.
Yeah. It's a sort of
thing. Yeah, it does,
I think certainly with small press, maybe. If you're going to do something like that, do a Christmas anthology, this is just my thinking, do it for charity.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
It's a good idea.
You know, tis the season of giving and all that. People can have fun with their characters and...
Because, you know, I mean, often you'll go the Wednesday between Christmas, you know, between Christmas and New Year, often there's not much out, is there?
No.
So, you know, if you haven't got a lot of comics as presents, or, you know, you've run out of reading material, you'll go to Comixology, won't you, or something, or go to Gumroad or whatever it's called and buy a comic sometimes. I don't think it's a popular subject for comics, though.
Yeah, you know? I went on Comixology today, and there was like 142 new titles that came out this week. I mean, you also... counting the collections there and the trades that come out, of course.
Yeah.
But I think, would you say there's probably more released digitally than you'd see in the comic stores?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, maybe, because not all comic short stores can stock everything, can they?
Yeah. And you know, is it, how well do holiday specials do in the comic stores? You know.
Yeah.
If they've got a history of not doing well, why would you order them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, with the big two, they'll sneak in a Christmas special as part of the run anyway, so you kind of have to keep doing it. But if it's a one shot, an annual, shall we say?
You used to see it more in British comics, didn't you? And that's what you see in 2000 AD, because it's got that weekly schedule and it'll come out for a week. Oh, it's Christmas, back to normal again.
Especially with the weekly comics as well. I remember I spoke about it on our anthology episode. There was a comic called Wildcat that was, like, you know, an anthology strip much like 2000 AD, And yeah. There was one cover, I'll never forget it. It was like a spaceship heading towards a planet, but the planet looked like a giant Christmas pudding. But that visual has stuck with me. Do you know what I mean? Because it was in space, it just happened to be a giant Christmas pudding.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Wonder how big the coin is you'd find.
Big.
Yeah.
How much brandy would you need for that?
Yeah. obviously a lot less than the artist had, because it fucking sent him off on one.
Yeah. It's probably the world's most flammable planet as well.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, we do hope you've all been safe at Christmas and haven't set yourself on fire due to a Christmas.
We don't really care, to be fair, do we?
Well, I care.
It affects the listening figures if someone dies.
Yeah. Stay safe. Keep listening. Or maybe it should be keep listening and then stay safe. Who knows? Just, yeah. So, yeah, holiday specials. You know, I've said my controversial bit that I'm not a fan.
No, I agree with you, mate. They're not my thing, really. I'm not really actually that bothered.
And I think that's why we've been reticent to sort of, you know, when we sort of said, oh, yeah, let's have a Christmas special episode. We could talk about Christmas specials. And then you go quiet for like 10 minutes thinking, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, I think we came across the exact thing last year, didn't we? Yeah. When first time we did a Christmas show, and it was like, well, Christmas specials. And we all kind of, what?
Yeah.
It's not.
But thankfully.
It's not like our very exciting new one that's coming that you suggested, Dan, which we're not going to tell anyone about yet.
No, that should be interesting.
We've got a lot of good shows coming up, actually, folks. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is the last show of 2016.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, 2000. Yeah, it's the last show.
It will be, won't it?
We'll be recording another one before the end of 2016. But
then we'll pretending. We'll be pretending as if it's the new year. So as you're hearing us now, we're tired. We're fed up. We just want someone to end it.
Especially after our 3.25-hour episode last week.
Yes,
yeah, that's a beast.
Yeah,
and we. I liked it though. I liked bits of that. Yeah.
Thank you to everyone that listened to that one.
I've got a couple of messages. Well, we saw a couple of messages where people were kind of like, oh, got so far in, having a break, got this far in now.
That's the thing about this show. Some people have to do it in sort of segments, don't they? They sort of...
It's just too sexy.
It's like an old man eating a roast dinner. You know, he's got to have a bit and then give it a rest and then have another bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like you've got to listen to it, go outside and just take a couple of deep breaths and kind of come.
Responsible for some people getting funny looks at work.
And a lot of vomiting.
Yeah, there's vomiting, there's arousal. We give you everything.
If you've had a boner whilst listening to this show, please write in.
Or call the Samaritans.
I presume that excludes us.
Well, we know about your issues. We had a long conversation before we came on air about that one. Which I'm sure Vince is already making notes about taking bits out and putting them at the end of these credits.
Well, we're recording early, so I've got more time to figure out what to do.
Well, listeners are apt to tune in to the end of the show.
Yeah. The word fire hose was used.
Oh, dear.
In conjunction with the word wild goose.
I tell you what, we were talking with the Christmas comics. We were sent in this a little while ago, and I read it at the time, but I kind of saved it and wanted to read it now at Christmas.
Okay.
And that was Santa Claus and the Nazi versus the Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Marcosia.
Want to get into that one, dude?
It's written by Ben Dickinson. Artist is the great Gary Mitchell. And you can buy it in the kind of lull between Christmas and New Year on Comixology for $2.99. Or go straight to the Marcosia site and get it through there. And I read you a little bit of the blurb. It's 1941. After discovering Santa Claus's factory, the Nazis enslave the elves, incapacitate Santa, and convert the factory into a factory of war. Two of Santa's helpers escape to London to brief Churchill, who creates a commando unit and look to take the factory back. It's great. It's really good. It kind of brings to mind the old commando comics, and it's written absolutely straight.
I think that's the best. That's the best way to be. The best way to get that kind of comedy working well is to have it just treating itself, you know, not like a parody, but to think of itself so seriously that reading it is amazingly hilarious.
Well, it's kind of like it'd be great to do the man versus. I guess there's two ways of doing it: the man versus rock route, or absolutely straight and serious.
Can you imagine if they did a Christmas special?
That'd be great. God. Yeah.
But it kind of took an angle with the comic that I didn't ever really think about with kind of Santa Claus, Father Christmas. And in the beginning, a couple of pages, he goes to deliver presents to Winston Churchill under the tree. And Winston Churchill's there and basically says, like, you could get involved in this war, like, with your ability center, you could turn it around. And it says, I don't get involved in this all over the years, like, since the dawn of mankind, I've not got involved. And Winston Churchill saying, this is different. And Santa kind of plays it off saying, there's always people doing this and I can't get involved. And the fact that kind of Santa, if you think about it, does have like these almost godlike abilities, and his reticence to kind of get involved in humanity, like strifes and battles, he has to stand apart from it.
Yeah.
Are you essentially comparing him to Dr. Manhattan? Is that what you're saying?
If they hadn't used Dr. Manhattan, they'd use Santa Claus. There would have been the wiener scene would have been different. I'm going to say that.
We can go around the entire world delivering billions of presents in one night. Yeah.
None of that moody looking at a clock shit that we got in Watchmen. Yeah.
He's always wearing red, which is a jolly colour.
Yeah, cheers you up, isn't it?
That's only because of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Rudolph's in it as well. Isn't he?
Yeah, Rudolph's in it. It's fantastic. But it kind of focuses on two characters, an elf and a human kind of... He's like an ex-slave that Santa rescues from the Caribbean. And he lives up in the North Pole helping him out and can't find his place.
But the elf's the coolest. I'd read just a comic about this elf. He's well cool, isn't he?
But basically the Nazis take over and it's up for the little elf and the human boy to kind of help take it back. And it's so good. It's really good. The artwork alone is fantastic. The writing is so on point. I was really impressed with this first time, and rereading it only kind of cemented that further. Yeah. I really recommend you get it.
I must say, even though I've just ranted about how I don't like holiday specials, but I think I mean that. I think I mean that more with established characters as such. This sort of one-off original tale that's got a nice sort of slant to it. That does look really good, that book, I must say.
Yeah, I read it at the time. I'm just looking back through it now. It's not a short book either. It's a big old one, isn't it? You know, it's loads to it.
Well worth that money.
It's been in the pipeline for a while, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it has, I think. Yeah, there's some great scenes of... I won't ruin it, but there's a sort of one big launch of attacks, sort of about two-thirds of the way through. And it looks, it's just funny as fuck just looking at it, but it looks great. He also does a lot of landscapes. Just suddenly you'll get like a great sort of landscape as well. Really good.
I think between the two of them, there's like pages where it pulls back and you get a double page spread, a landscape and stuff. And it slows the story down for a beat and then it gets going again. It's got that, it's a real rhythm all the way through it. It's very well done.
Yeah. And it shows Santa goes for it towards the end, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Don't piss off Santa.
Yeah, fuck.
Obviously, Hitler bears quite a grudge because he hasn't been getting presents off of Santa for 5 years. But that's played absolutely straight. It's not like...
Yeah.
It's really well done. You kind of laugh at the absurdity of it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Hitler berating Santa for not giving him gifts. And he's like, well, you've been in the naughty list. I can't give you gifts.
Such a simple motivation.
Santa can knows if you've been naughty or nice. So that's... another fantastic power in itself. To be that instant moral judgment on someone.
Oh dear. That sounds really good. Yeah.
And it's got an introduction by David Lloyd as well, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Oh, has it really? Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Brilliant. Well, there you go. There's one nice sort of capper to the conversation, Dan. That was nicely timed.
Very good.
To retweet the other day, there's that mini trailer from Scrooged with Lee Majors in it, The Night the Reindeer Died. Have you seen that?
No, I've not seen that.
Like, terrorists attack Father Christmas workshop, and then Lee Majors turns up with a minigun.
Oh. Lee Majors rules. Yeah.
It's like I would watch this film. I would watch this film.
Yeah. It's a bit like the teaser for... Is it Machete in Space? I want to watch that now as well.
Oh, God, yeah. That'll never get made.
There's talk about they're making it. My son tells me, anyway. He said he read somewhere they're making Machete in Space.
To be fair, it wouldn't surprise me because Robert Rodriguez could make a film out of a packet of crisps. and a pickled egg.
Someone was talking about a fucking remake of Escape from New York.
Yeah, it's happening, and I don't know why. But then again, you know, it's the remake of Big Trouble in Little China. These things are going to happen, guys. We just have to come to terms with it.
I just can't see anyone playing, what do you call it, Jack Burton.
Jack Burton. Yeah. Where the Rock's playing him, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's...
Can you smell what he's cooking?
I don't mind fucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
But that's a little bit miscasting.
Yeah. It's not his role.
Yeah.
Is he playing Black Adam, though, isn't he? Which I think is brilliant casting.
That is fantastic casting.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah.
But that, you know, who knows when that filmer will arrive, you know?
Hopefully never.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I read the third issue of that Escape from New York and Big Trouble in Little China out of Boom, and it just gets better and better. Jack Burton begins to fancy the female alternate reality version of Snake Plissken. It's just goes mad.
But the thing is, if you're going to do it, just take the seatbelt off and do it.
Yeah.
And also, that's probably the best way to almost get attention on some of these sort of books, isn't it? If you've got a couple of talking points, you know, like that. Yeah. I mean,
you honestly, don't know how you could play it safe on that stuff. You really got to go for it.
Yeah, yeah. And Snake Plissken in one of the alternate realities is a big snake who he has to fight. So that's proper Big Trouble in Little China, isn't it? He's fighting this big sort of snake who's got an eye patch.
The thing about it is, if it was just Escape from New York, you know, you kind of got to handle that in a kind of serious kind of manner. But as soon as you put Big Trouble in there, that's almost a crossover that you can't really take seriously in the in the best kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's only a 5-issue mini, so they've done the right thing. That should never be an ongoing. It should just be
I must say, I approve of that kind of crossover. I think that could work really well in comics.
Yeah.
There are some that I just, even if I love the characters, I'm just not interested in.
Like Batman Ninja Turtles, I've got no time for that, really.
No. Crossovers.
That's just a money grab, you know.
I'm full of controversial opinions tonight, but for instance, things like this, Superman Aliens, Batman Judge Dredd, and similar things like that, I can't get into them. That for me, there's a disconnect.
What's the other one? Justice League Power Rangers? It just makes me groan. Really? Oh. Yeah.
I saw the trailer for the new Power Rangers film when I was sitting to see Rogue One. It's an awful trailer.
Oh, is it?
People were saying they were laughing. Just how bad it was.
Isn't it a bit like Dawson's Creek or something?
It's like Dawson's Creek crossed with Chronicle. You know that film Chronicle?
Yeah.
It's a Power Rangers trailer where you don't actually see the Power Rangers at all in their Power Ranger bit.
Trouble is, I feel that there's the source material, and you try to take it too seriously, and I just don't think they can do it justice. Yeah.
Actually, isn't there a new Power Rangers one?
Power Rangers. They do one every couple of years.
There's a crossover, because obviously with the film and stuff. Is it X-Men?
No, it's Justice League, isn't it?
So that's the new one, Justice League, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought you were talking about an older one. Oh, right.
I've got no time for that kind
of crossover.
Nah, it's just cash in, isn't it, that one?
I mean, it's much and I love the character, but it's the Army of Darkness crossed with this, crossed with that.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Ash character. Ash versus Evil Dead is such a good series.
They kind of killed that.
I must watch that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But those comics that just keep coming out, you know, Army of Darkness and Xena Warrior Princess.
Is it Marvel Zombies? They did one as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah,
the first couple of first three or four Marvel Zombies miniseries, really good.
I really like the first one's really really good, and also I did like the way that they sort of tied that into the Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah, I'd say isn't one of the Power Rangers going to be Ninjak?
Oh, really?
Who's the one who went into MMA?
I know the guy.
He was actually quite successful, wasn't he?
He played the Green Power Ranger, Tommy.
Yeah, I think he was actually quite
David
good at it.
Jason Franks, is it something like that?
Something like that. Well, I think he's Ninjak in the movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because I was watching this random YouTube video the other day that had like actors who went into doing MMA.
I saw that one.
Yeah, I think he got he was two or three fights and he won them all. And
then he was all not bad, was he? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I saw that one. How weird is that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Got a similar taste, Tony.
Yeah, I know, mate. We like just violence. Yeah.
What a terrifying concept that is, eh, folks?
I'm gonna say something controversial.
Go on.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to say it because somebody had a go at me last week. I can't say it. I'll tell you later.
Now everyone's going to want to know what it is, aren't they?
Yeah, really? Yeah. See, that'll tease you, won't it? That'll teach you having a go at me online.
Well, you know, we've made it to the end of our first full year as the Awesome Pod. And it's been a cracking year. Obviously, our last epic episode was looking back on the year that was. But I can honestly say that thank you to everyone that's been listening, the loyal listeners that have stuck with us, the new ones. Everyone that's come up and said hello. Or if you've just listened to this show and picked up one of the books we've talked about, you know, thank you very much.
A fair few people have, and I'm pleased about that.
Even sometimes, because when we do these shows, I can only speak personally, but sometimes I look back when we finish recording and think, did I say anything of any real sense?
I know I never say anything of any real sense.
But you know, you get into this when you get impassioned about something, so it feels like you're rambling. But to know that maybe occasionally a little bit of information gets through or people want to check out a book that we've talked about is very humbling. So thank you to everyone who's listened this year. We got another year of this shit to go. Yeah, we got plenty more guests.
About 10 years, but more than that. Keep going.
Yeah, we'll be the only podcast left when the world is a desert, and you're all killing each other.
I'm pretty sure podcasts just kind of double exponentially, kind of every couple of weeks.
I think Gareth Hopkins put online that he wants to do one. I think yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah, I'd listen to his.
Don't do it. It's just an absolute killer.
We don't have to fucking edit this. Fine.
Yeah.
Because weird. Because I was re-listening to one the other day, and there's a bit where we talk on air. So we edit that bit. Don't worry. Should we talk about this now? Yeah. And I was like, I could have sworn but that should have been edited out.
You can never trust him because he sort of subtly starts recording.
Well, I'm sorry if we've been recording for three flipping hours. Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
I say my arse smells of cheese and it makes it in there.
I wanted to have an episode where all my swear words are bleeped out, but admittedly that is a lot of work.
Maybe we'll record that at the beginning of 2017 and maybe it'll be the special of
for Christmas. Let's not swear for charity. Let's have a charity thing where we don't swear, because we managed to do it for a minute and a half once, didn't we? Do you remember?
We probably did it for the first few episodes, I think.
I think the first episode we did it and we hadn't agreed on anything about swearing.
That's right,
or not.
Yeah. We hadn't really discussed anything, to be fair, had we?
Yeah. Because literally, that was the first time we'd even spoken to each other as a threesome.
Never speak to threesomes.
What a threesome it's been. Put your keys in the bowl, Dan. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, in terms of, we don't normally talk about this stuff, so, you know, fuck it, it's the end of the year, we can do whatever we want. In terms of, like, the bigger picture, in terms of multimedia, what's been some of your highlights of this year? I'm talking beyond the small press and the comics, you know, because we live in a world where this culture that we love is kind of
spreading out, and
it's probably at its peak, you know, it's at the top of the mountain. It's already, because it's at that top of the mountain, it's already suffering the backlash of everybody complaining about it constantly.
No, yeah.
But because we get lots to watch, so what has been your highlights?
For me, you got to remember, I come from an age where all I had was the Hulk TV series, which he was the Hulk for about a second in every episode. Mm-hmm. I had a shitty Spider-Man TV series and two Captain America movies, which were terrible.
Yeah.
And now I've got the DC Universe on Sky One, which I watch all of them, even though Legends of Tomorrow is possibly one of the worst TV programs ever made, with some of the worst acting I've ever seen on television.
Carry on fucking watching that.
I still watch it. I watch The Flash. I watch Supergirl. I watch fucking Green Arrow. You name it, I watch Outcast, Walking Dead, you know, all that sort of thing. And then add to that movies like, I mean, Deadpool came out this year. We forget about that.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
You know, the X-Men movie, the Marvel movies. And even the people who lost their minds about how terrible they thought Suicide Squad was, I fucking really liked it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
I think we're so lucky, you know?
We are very lucky, and I remember, you know, how excited I was, you know, that there was a, that I could watch a Punisher movie that happened. It was the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. Do you know what I mean? But when you're a kid and you get that VHS, you're like, this is the greatest thing ever.
It's a fucking comic book character.
It is gold. It's, you know, and when the first Blade came out, and it was like, oh my god, someone finally got it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
But you got to remember, we also had the Richard Donner suit. You know, had Superman. Superman 1 and 2 still some of my favourite films ever.
But also, Tony, with that in mind, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything that comes out is good, though, does it?
No. I mean, I'm sure there are. I will be the first to admit that Legends of Tomorrow is a serious guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes you can play a drinking game where every time they're on the bridge and someone says a line, they have to walk across the other side of the room. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. It's just bizarrely directed.
They had that one with the Dominators on it the other day.
I haven't seen that one. I'm caught up with the invasion one. Yeah.
And I was, what's the girl like? Oh, you know, these kind of superpowered aliens can fly around virtually indestructible. Where's that girl that can do martial arts and has got two sticks? Because we need her front and centre.
Yeah, she's got no superpowers or whatever.
There's a lot of them just like they can hit things with things. Okay.
Yeah.
That's,
well, I mean, Arrow is basically a martial arts TV series now. The fucking fighting it is incredible.
Yeah.
Legend Tomorrow is a bit of a smelly one, I've got to tell you.
Do you think DC, when it comes to the big two, which one do you think has the upper hand when it comes to TV?
I think DC, because you've also got to remember they got iZombie, they got Gotham. I think they're ahead. I think even with the Netflix stuff, I think because the Netflix stuff is rare. You know, you got 23, 24 episodes of these series, Arrow and Flash and that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a longer series, it does mean you do get a lot more filler.
I think the Netflix series are really strong. I mean,
they're tighter, aren't they? Much tighter. Yeah.
Yes. Kind of like... I will say that this year gave me my first disappointment.
The second half of Cage, which I know you haven't got to, Dan, have you?
No.
Yeah.
I honestly wasn't mad on the second series of Daredevil with Elektra. I wasn't really.
That's a series that you could almost chop in half, though, isn't it? Really, it's almost.
Yeah, the bits with Punisher I loved.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It seemed to have a kind of weak ending with the Elektra thing because I was like, I didn't really. The character hadn't garnered any real sympathy for me, and then we were supposed to care what was happening to her. And I thought, I think she needed to be in it a bit more before shit went down.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the next Daredevil series.
I'm looking forward to Iron Fist. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Marvel does a Kung Fu series, and Shang-Chi's in it, so it's like
he's got to be the bad guy, hasn't he?
No!
Shang-Chi? Are you insane?
It's going to be Iron Fist. Shang-Chi is going to be like the bad guy that gets reformed, realizes he's working on, he's on the wrong side.
That's how the first issue starts. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe he's his teacher. That's what I was wondering.
He's got to be a serious threat. Whoever goes up against Iron Fist.
Well, he's a master of Kung Fu. Do you know what I mean?
It's he's the better martial artist than him, but he's got his iron. I reckon they might go mystical. A little bit mystical with Kunlun and all that sort of thing.
Now
they kind of tapped into it with Strange, didn't they?
Yeah,
and they tapped into it as well with who's the Chinese woman who throws Kingpin, the little old lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because she's one of the main villains in Iron Fist. So there's a
in the Brubaker series. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to this year. I mean, in terms of the things that I think Luke Cage.
What about non-comic things that have kind of had an effect on you?
Maybe
limit down to like media as opposed to world events.
Because it's a mad world we live in at the moment, and people probably listen to this to get away from it all.
I've just got into Black Mirror, so I'm watching that. I'm going to mention it in a minute with my review, but I have to say that.
Westworld. I must admit,
I've only watched the first one, but I need to catch up on that.
Thoroughly enjoyed Westworld. Yeah, that was really good.
That screen wipes on well, for people listening, it was on Thursday just gone. For you two, it's on tomorrow night, so that's worth watching.
Oh, amazing.
Charlie Brooker, Screen Wipe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Of the year.
I've been watching a lot of old stuff. I rewatched all the Stuart Lee series, and I like his
I like Stuart Lee. Yeah. I think it's heavily biased, but watching that Making a Murderer, I found it really fascinating, really interesting.
Okay.
I knew it was heavily kind of biased and edited to kind of appear one way. But as a kind of a series, I found that absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. And I'm surprised not many more people are talking about this, but I've liked Humans.
Oh, I need to watch the second really series. The first series is fantastic.
And it's a clever, intelligent series. I really liked it. Yeah.
I really liked it. Speaking of Humans, it was that... Utopia. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, no, I didn't watch that. Was that good?
That was very good. That's also... the story stems from a graphic novel that's been created, which is quite interesting.
At the moment, we've currently got Netflix and Amazon. And I think my... Well, I won't speak ill of my wife. I'll leave that for...
watch yourself.
At the moment, it's kind of heavily on Netflix. I find that far superior to Amazon.
Although I'm watching that Mozart in the Jungle, which I really like that series. And that's on Amazon at the moment. But they've got Vikings, which is good as well. You know,
Amazon
but...
also had Preacher, which...
of course they did, and I like that.
I very much enjoyed, I think.
See, one thing in Amazon, it feels like I'm paying for a service that they can offer me to pay for other services.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can rent this. Oh, thanks. I've paid for you to advertise to me, which is a bit kind of...
Yeah, there's nothing worse than going on one of those sort of film providers and you go, oh, there's that. And it tells you, if you want to watch this, go to www. And you think, piss off.
And the other thing is, I think I commented on Twitter the other day, I don't think I see enough adverts for The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, yeah.
I think I see them about every fucking 5 minutes. Yeah.
You remember, like, YouTube, maybe like even a year ago, you'd watch a video and there would be an ad at the front and you think, oh, fuck's sake, okay.
Yeah.
Now I watch a video, 3 or 4 ads easily,
just
interspersed in it all the way through. Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's turning into one of those episodes.
We're a bunch of grumpy old men, that much is true, but that's why you love us, folks. I can tell you what I'm looking forward to next year in February that isn't comics related.
What's that?
John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was listening to... Who's the guy out of Deadwood who plays the
Ian
bar
McShane.
Owner?
Ian McShane.
I had an interview with him on Nerdist today, the Nerdist podcast, and he's in John Wick 2.
Yeah, he's in John Wick 1.
Is he? I've not seen John Wick 1. I can't watch it because of the dog.
I can understand. I totally understand
you don't
that.
You don't see anything.
Because of that, it's... you'll be almost more on board for what John Wick does through the rest of the film.
Yeah. Well, you know Stan. You'd find, I'd go John Wick. Yeah.
There is a website you can look that up, can't you? Like, what happens to the dog in a film.
Oh, is there?
Because there's often we'll start watching a horror film and there's a dog in it. It's like, okay. So Zoe, my wife, almost dead, Doxter. You can go online and then look up and see what happens to the dog in a film. Invariably, something horrible happens.
I can't watch Marley and Me. That would literally fucking ruin me.
No, I've not watched that. I know what
Couldn't
happens.
Do
I can't do it for that.
It's a strange thing that I didn't see any of the film and I only caught the last 5 minutes and I cried. And don't get me wrong, folks, I'm dead inside. It is a cold, harsh, barren wasteland inside. But
fucking... bring it around to Christmas, fucking the snowman used to kill me as a
fucking
kid.
The snowman, oh my god.
I can remember the first time that played
snowball
like and he's like dead at the end and it's like, okay, so what happens here? Nope, dead, credit roll.
It's quite a cruel cartoon that, isn't it?
It
essentially teaches us that hope is a lie, don't bother.
Well, did you see the follow-up? They did the snowman and the snow dog. Having a young son, I can use that as an excuse to watch it and say it was for him.
How many times have you used that excuse, Dan, to watch something
loads.
You really want to watch?
Loads.
What is the most recent example of that?
A couple of days ago, I watched Justice League Action.
I must watch that.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
If you kind of got a passing knowledge of DC, the amount of in-jokes in it.
Right, good.
Brilliant.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm quite pleased that Young Justice is coming back. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, I think it's coming back on Netflix.
That was a really good animated series, I must say, Young Justice. It was one of DC's better ones, if you ask me.
Okay.
In the episode I saw, Batman goes back in time with the Blue Beetle. There's someone called the Chrono Master that wants to stop Batman's first night out as Batman. So he has to stop the Chrono Master but not let his former self see him.
Okay.
It's really well done.
I like it when they use like minor characters. You know, there's a surprise.
Yeah.
They sort of team him up with a kind of a bigger one. And
they did that a lot with the Spider-Man series, didn't they? What was that?
They did it with Justice League Unlimited as well. There's loads of that in that, wasn't there?
Yeah, because the Spider-Man TV series also had like Nova, and there was a Deadpool episode, and
Ultimate Spider-Man, you mean?
Yeah, that Ultimate one. Spider-Man. Yeah, that was a really good show.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah.
Oh dear. Okay. See, we've regressed into being in a pub and just sitting around the table and just talking. This is what would happen if we were in a pub, folks. But yes, there you go. See, we started rambling. And just like that, 15 minutes is gone. we're edging closer to death. Do we have any shout-outs?
I don't think I have. No, not at the moment. Just a little shout-out to everyone who's interacted with us.
Yeah. I don't want to kind of... Yeah, it feels like a slight for not mentioning every single listener and everyone.
I know, by name.
But it's so valuable and great that you've done so. We really appreciate it.
A little shout out to Stuart McCune, because I think he's, I won't disclose why, but he's having a little bit of a hard time and he's a good pal of ours. So a little shout out to Stuart. I'm going to speak to him on the phone next couple of days.
He's a dude.
He's good. He is a dude.
Shout out to John Late as well. He's cracking. Really enjoyed that time. We've been doing a comic for Comic House, Suited and Booted, and I'm just doing the final part of it now.
Oh, cool.
He's been an absolute pleasure to work with.
Yeah, as is Jen Brown, actually, I have to say. Jen Reeser on Twitter, absolutely joy to work with. What fun we've had this year. We've done two strips this year. One's in print and the other one's about to be printed. So, yeah, we had a great laugh. Great little... If you're going to collaborate with someone, I can thoroughly recommend Jen. Yeah.
I think that's what's good for Twitter. You can get to know someone.
Their art and everything. Their art,
see how they interact. Then you can have a few conversations back and forth. And if you feel there's a kind of thing there, you can go... Working shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of artists out there are very affable and, like, you know, they're sometimes you see an amazing work from someone who you think is a professional and working on so much stuff, when really they're not, if that makes sense. You know, don't be afraid to ask people very politely, very professionally, you know, what their rates are, if they're available, etc.
If they're single.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's many artists, if you said, would you up for a commission? There'd be yes.
Yeah, they would be
nine times out of ten.
Yeah.
There you go. So
so if you got in contact and said, Vince, Dan, could you do a quick holiday commission?
We'd
probably say yeah.
£1,000.
£1,000.
Oh, can I just say Dave Brown as well? Dave and I have got a little bit of a secret project on the go, and he's a gent as well. Yeah, good lad.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Speaking of 2000 AD, isn't it, really? Because he's the 2000 AD Uber fan, isn't he, that fella?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, he does. I think he put some pictures of his collection up, didn't he? He's got some cracking stuff, yeah.
Nice. So, short and sharp this week, folks. But as always, there's more to come. And we're going to recommend something to you now.
Yeah.
A couple of us are.
Well, we kind of are. Yeah.
Well, we kind of are. You know, this is a looser kind of show, isn't it? We're just winding down.
We got some port.
We got the port. Someone's lit a Yankee candle. Ah, smells lovely. And you know,
your fucking house is weird. I'll tell you what.
I love a Yankee candle.
Walking around in his pants, drinking port, and having Yankee candles.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a Yankee candle. Lovely.
Drinking port, eating Monster Munch.
No, I think you'll find it's Treeslets. Which are Cheeslets, Christmas tree shaped. Anyway,
class.
They are nice.
I'm a class. Yeah, they are. They're Moorish. They're like crack, I'd imagine. Anyway,
supermarket box today, you can pick them up cheap, Vince. I know that would appeal to you.
Oh, God.
What, crack?
A, I love a bargain, and B, I'm mad for crack. So... and speaking about mad for it, have we got anything to recommend, folks? Tony?
I have, yeah. It is a little bit mad as well. Generous Bosom Part 2. That's the book I'm recommending.
What a way to end the year.
Thank you. Nice. Do you remember I did the first one, and it's a little bit of a sort of weird story about, it's by Connor Steckschult, 74 yes. pages, it's sort of two colour wash. Do you remember the first one was about Art, who's a creepy husband who encourages his wife to sleep with a stranger who's turned up after his car's broken down. And it becomes this sort of really sort of creepy, sort of neurotic, uncomfortable story. And it's a bit weird. So in the second one, it starts with Art turning up at Glenn, who is the guy who turned up at the house. He turns up at his house and says, oh, you know, I want to speak to you. And Glenn says, well, keep away from me. And eventually Art talks him into to talking to him. And Art says, oh, I need to show you this videotape. He's videoed something. And he says, well, you can't buy video recorders. They haven't been about for like 20 years. So they have to go to a thrift store to find a player. And then they end up, it won't plug into the television. So they have to go and find some wires. And it discovers after an awful lot of fanning about, this is the spoilers, by the way. So if you don't want to, this happens in the first part of the book. So beware spoilers. But it's basically a video. He's surprise videoed his wife who's having a shower. And it turns out she looks a bit chubby, and he tells Glenn that she's pregnant. So running parallel with this is a story about two girls who are sort of being groomed. One of them's being groomed by a teacher for a sexual purpose, or very, very, very sort of creepy. And to be fair, this book is a bit like watching a car crash. You know, okay. Something bad's going to happen. Something very, very wrong is going to happen in both the sort of streams of story. And the book just, after that, the book just goes into fucking freefall and the weirdness just takes over. I said earlier, didn't I was going to talk about a book that's a bit like Black Mirror, and this is a bit like it. It's this sort of overwhelming sort of doom is sort of hanging over your heads. And the book's just going from page to page, from weirdness to weirdness. The dialogue probably is my favourite bit. And then Connor, the creator, takes ages sometimes just to have a conversation, which I kind of admire, really. You know, you might get 6 pages of a conversation, which people don't really do enough of, do they? They try and strip down the language and the dialogue to just enough so that it can link the action. Yeah. But in this, it comes across as really weird, really real. And the art's very scratchy. There's the moments of it that are just incredibly, sort of, especially the nighttime, just sort of incredibly scratchy. And then there's bits where somebody will turn a light bulb on and it just goes completely white with a single line black outline of the characters. Quite clever like that. It's very intriguing and a little bit frustrating, I'll be honest with you. There'll be a part 3 coming. If you fancy dipping your toe into this very, very sort of dirty puddle, go to breakdownpress.com. I think it's 74 pages. I'm going to say it's a little bit expensive. It's 12 quid. So I'm going to say that's a little bit too much for this book.
Okay.
Which is, it's got a spine. It's quite thick stock paper. But I'm going to say £12 for something that is, you know, less pages than the 2000 AD special we just spoke about. That's £4.99. Is a bit too much, but, it's definitely an experience. It's worth it for the weirdness, if I put it that way, if you can sort of dig that. Yeah, that's my one. Generous Bosom Part 2.
Nice one.
There you go.
Dan, you already dropped a big one with Santa versus the Nazis.
Yeah, I did.
Do you have another comic that you want to give a little shout out to?
I do, yeah. Kevin Gunstone got in touch with the show, previous guest. I believe on episode 62. I just googled that moments ago. His comic, Planet of the Demons, issue 1.
Really good. Is it Paul?
Really good.
Who's Paul Moore? Paul Moore, yeah, really nice art, yeah.
There were some issues with it coming out, but essentially it came out at the end of November, so that's ready to buy now, which we think you should go and get, because it's fantastic. He sent over issue 2, we've not had a chance to read it yet, well, I haven't even had looked at it yet. But the first one, written by Kevin Gunstone, art is fantastic by Paul Moore, colors by Stefan Mrkonjic, Mrkonjic.
What would the year be without one of us trying to pronounce a name that we can't?
Yeah. So, a quick rundown of the book. In the occult realm of Quippoloth, the Puritan magistrate Amos Dethridge serves as jailer of the demons who cast a sinister influence over Earth. Arriving on the world of Sitariel in search of the spirit of war, Amos learns of the hatching of an all-new powerful Succubus Queen. And it's great. It was such a fantastic comic. And with two coming out in the new year, I can't wait to pick it up.
Oh, cool. So, it does look good. Yeah, good. I've not probably read it. I just looked at the first couple of pages and I put it in my Dropbox to have a read. But yeah, it looks really good. Yeah.
You can pick the first issue up on Comixology for $3.99. So what's that about? £2.50? £3?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Which I heartily recommend you do.
Well worth it. It's great. Mm. Nice. My one this week, I told the lads before we came on to record, I was quite grumpy today.
Yeah.
Maybe it was low blood sugar. The fact that work was just a bunch of arse. And there's probably other factors as well. But I came home to a book that came through the post, and it was a Kickstarter reward.
Okay.
Now, I've got to give a shout out to Dan Harris of Loose Scannon and Druid Investigations, who told me about this Kickstarter when we're at Melksham, maybe Melksham.
Okay.
It was a successful Kickstarter, and now I have the 250-plus page book in my hand. And it's a little book called Anything About Nothing by Kelly Angel. Now, I got it today. I flicked through it. It's one of those books it's a webcomic, and every day is a different kind of strip. They're, like the title says, it's literally about anything and everything, you know, funny jokes, you know, just autobiographical. But I can honestly say, if we hadn't already done our highlights of 2016...
Oh, nice.
This would probably have been one of my highlights, because...
Nice, okay.
This is... amazing, this book. It's hilarious. Firstly, I've got to say a nice little touch that Kelly did. It came with some lovely prints that showed off like her individual work. One of them was just a human-faced cat that she's drawn.
Right.
With just underneath it just says, "Stop that, it's weird." there was a unicorn.
She got that for you.
Yeah, the unicorn that just has a speech bubble that says, "Burn things." So it's definitely that kind of humour. But because it also came on Christmas, she put a little Christmas card in with it and signed a little Christmas card. So I've got an extra Christmas card to add to the shelves. So that's one I've got this year.
Yeah. You beat me to that.
Yeah, and she signed it and drawn something in it. So there's a lovely personal touch to it. But I'll read a little bit of the introduction. It sums up someone who's very humble but putting out a funny book. It's just, "Hi there, welcome to this handsome book of comics. Is it the most beautiful, life-improving book that ever existed? Maybe. Probably not. Those kind of things are pretty subjective, though. So it is possible, no matter how unlikely. There are books that tell you about how to knit with dog hair, so it's pretty hard to compete." And that sort of humour goes all the way through. It's very irreverential. There's some surreal stuff. One of my favourite strips that I've already laughed out loud, it's just called Assumptions. And there's a guy sitting on the beach, it's a beautiful day, and he sat next to his dog. And he goes, looks at his dog, says, "I wish I could be the person you think I am, boy." Focuses on the dog with a speech bubble that says, "You're such an asshole, John." And underneath,
it sounds like a sort of John Cullen type humor.
It's that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it says at the bottom of the page, "To be fair to the dog, John's Facebook profile picture is a car. He doesn't even own a car. This is why no one invites him to parties. That and the constant talking about his pet rock. Pet rocks are over. They're not cool anymore, John." And this book's just full of, like, you know, day-to-day sort of jokes and things like that. There's a guy dressed in a banana costume who's eating a banana, and he says, "This feels kind of awkward, like I'm eating my baby." And then he keeps eating it.
You're dressed as a banana in my WhatsApp picture. Matt Strott did it, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm dressed as a banana every day.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good drawing, Matt. I like that.
Here's your laughest one.
Thank you, Matt.
That was a bit mean. Sorry. Yeah,
you've been a wonderful supporter of this show, you bastard. No, but Anything About Nothing is fantastic. And she's added loads of... when she did the Kickstarter, she had this webcomic going since 2008. So when it came to add the collection, because this is 250 pages, she went back to redraw some of the earlier ones, just because...
Okay, because all comic artists are freaks.
So, you know, there's fresh art, there's some classic strips. I had never read the webcomic, which is why I was like, right, I want a collection. It's perfect coffee table fodder. It's laugh out loud funny. And there's loads of, like, back matter, you know, funny bits about making comics and extras, and just a lovely sense of humour. And on the inside back cover, there's a cat that's looking at the reader, and it says, "Only you can see me." Oh, maybe that's just me.
It's creepy, isn't it?
but seriously, Kelly Angel, it's a brilliant book. You can find out more of her work at anythingcomic.com. There's probably a store on there. If you see a show, definitely pick this book up, because it's nice. I think I can't remember how much I paid for the Kickstarter now. Probably like £10 or £15 or something like that. And you get your money's worth. You really do.
Oh, cool.
Really, really good. So that totally cheered my day up. Plus, I got a Christmas card and some prints with cat faces on. She's a
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, you like cats as well, don't you?
I love cats.
Cannot go wrong.
I'm a cat person. I'm probably.
You are. You're a bit of a dog person as well. You're crossing the border. You're blurring the lines.
I'm a friend. I'm Dr. Doolittle, essentially. It's a bit weird. Like, animals just seem to love me. I don't know why.
Oh, God. Where are we going with this?
It's people I have a problem with.
I'm going to have to be quiet now.
Now, that's why you got that fucking wolf book. Now we know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wouldn't say that.
I can't say what I was going to say because somebody had a go at me last week for saying
it. Do you know what? I've got both your addresses, so just be careful, gents. Just be careful.
Yeah, I don't want you sending me that in the post. Think of the radiation that's coming off it now. If you know those sort of things they do crime scenes with. You know, it shows up where all the man fat is.
Yeah,
imagine
Pollock.
They put it on that comic.
Oh,
shit, fucking space.
Oh. Fucking biohazard.
Dear God.
On that bombshell.
Oh, dear. Yeah, on that bombshell. Yes. What do you think of holiday comics, folks? And is there anything we've talked about? We've been controversial this week, and you found out a bit more about us personally.
Oh, God.
Sorry about that. We'll clean it up. But let us know what you thought about this episode, or what you'd like to see on the episodes in 2017.
Yeah.
We've got lots of ideas, but if you've got any potential ideas for something, just let us know, or a subject you want us to know about that isn't spoken about enough on your podcasts and websites. Likewise, if you've got any relationship advice, I think we should bring Ask Tony back.
I'd
like that to come back so I can ruin people's relationships again.
Ask Auntie Tony, that'd be a good one.
That's a good one.
If you've got any of those, send them to awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If there's any events, or if you want to know what we're doing like in the new year, etc., tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod. It'll probably be quiet for the next few days as we enjoy Christmas and get stuffed.
Yeah, we'll be fucking bored, though. I'll be putting shit up.
Yeah,
they will be listening to this on Boxing Day, though, Vince.
That's true, yeah.
Oh.
If you want to send us pictures of your morning business after the turkey,
Send them to tony.awesomecomic. Yes, go to the Facebook, facebook.com/awesome.
Listen, if someone sent me a picture of their morning business, I would definitely give them a shout out because that is talent.
Yeah.
There's a lady in my work. We keep nicking her phone and taking pictures of their morning business and then setting as a screensaver. I think she thinks it's quite funny. I don't think it's sexual harassment in the workplace. It's fine.
No. I've found out you can use Siri on people's iPhones if they left it on their desk.
Yeah, I did it the other day because someone left their iPhone and I wanted to find out whose it was. So I did it the other day. Yeah, that's right.
Switches itself on by itself because I know Jo had her phone near the TV the other day and we were just watching telly and it said, "I'm sorry, I can't find that."
If you say it's robots something like "Hello Siri," you can have that activated.
On
the telly, it sounds like that, and then it asks.
Oh God!
On a stranger's phone, well, someone you work with, you go, "Siri, please set an alarm clock for me at 1 o'clock in the morning," and then
basically, that's a great prank. He'll do it to strangers as well. He doesn't care.
Just gaslight everyone.
I mean, I'm going to try it now. I am doing a poo.
Oh, really? What now?
Let's keep it clean here, okay?
Oh. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Oh, we need to get him as a host.
Yeah, that's the most intelligent thing anyone said all show.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. We've had some good guests.
Yeah, our guests have been the best thing about this show. Ask Siri, what they think of the Awesome Comics Pod.
Okay, hang on. What do you think of the Awesome Comics Pod?
It's nice of you to ask, but it doesn't really matter what I think.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, fuck. Fucking robot freak.
Who the fuck are you? Yeah.
If you're not a sex robot, we don't want to know.
No.
Are you going to troll Siri? Is that what you're going to do?
I'm going to try and make it cry and bully it now for the rest of the night.
I've got to get Jen back. I was going to say get Jen back on in the new year.
Yeah, we should do. Yeah, she'd send us nuts, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
I
think maybe if we have Jen Yildblad in and we have a one-on-one conversation between her and Siri, it could be.
I don't know who'd be most confused. We love you, Jen.
We love you. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for listening, folks. Where can people find us on Twitter, etc.? Tony.
Ezoyes on Twitter. That's what I'm going to say. Fuck
you. Oh,
right.
that was his drop the mic moment, Dan.
Twitter is at Vanguard Comic, and you read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Nice. You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo. And find out more about my comic at theredmashandmars.com.
We should, if you get any sweet comic book swag, post it up on the Facebook page.
Let's see Christmas presents. Yeah. Good shout. I should be posting mine.
Yeah. We'll put a post up and then let's get a few comments. Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Lovely. It's been wonderful. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas, everyone. Who knows what's going to happen to us in the new year? Whatever it will be, it'll be sexy.
And violent.
Have a brilliant week. And from Dan, Tony, and myself, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.